Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good Monday morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Glad to have you. Beautiful day today. And also, I'm calling this my day of G's Power Hour Divas, because we got a couple of people on that I am excited to have on. We usually have Chef Z on for the third Monday, but we also have someone else on. But we're going to start with Chef Z. Good morning. How are you, Chef Z Carter?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Great to have you on. So a week from today, well, actually not even a week from today, because people don't even start on Memorial Day, but probably Friday, you could say, would be the start of the unofficial start of summer, because people start really pulling out the grills and all of that and getting their barbecue on and stuff like that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So what you got for us today?
Yes, it's always safe to say that the Memorial Holiday is the holiday of the barbecue season. It begins for everyone else, because, you know, here in Florida, it's always on.
I know.
We don't
go away.
Thanksgiving's coming, we barbecue.
Yeah, it just ramps up a little bit more, but it goes on all the time for us here in Florida. I'm very grateful for that. So.
Yes, I'm so happy for that as well. And I knew we grew up, there was always a barbecue, for whatever reason we would barbecue. But Memorial Day really, really kicks off the holiday, and that's when we all start making our plans and preparing the barbecue and asking everybody over and to bring the dish and who should bring the ice versus who should bring the actual food. You know, it's always a dilemma.
Oh, that's how that works. Okay.
Yes, if you're asked to bring the ice, just know that I guess there's a lot to be desired, or we believe you have the ice hookup. It could be one or the other, you know, but you never know.
Okay.
So, I mean,
whatever.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, you can't let anybody make the potato salad, so it's got to stay
free.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, speaking of potato salad, food safety is always the issue, and it's one of the things that's most often overlooked. Always, you know, everybody's bringing their dish, and a lot of times people will just take their dish and wrap it up in saran wrap or foil, stick it in the back of their car, do all their errands, and then run over to the event. And that poor dish has been sitting in the car for God knows how long. And then they just say, stick it in the oven, it'll be okay, and put it out. And the next thing you know, everybody at the barbecue or majority of the barbecue is sick. Then they don't know who to blame it on. They're going to, you know, confess that they had the baked beans sitting in the back seat for about 2 or 3 hours before they made it, because you figured it's baked beans, it can last. And, you know, so food safety is always something to put on the back burner, but it's something that we should be aware of. People should know, you know, bacteria and food multiply really fast, and especially between temperatures of 40 degrees and 140 degrees. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, 100 outside, but normally in your car, the temperature rises in your car really fast. And if you are having food in there and it's not protected, then you run the risk of your food being in what we call in the industry the temperature danger zone. And that's usually between that, it's really 35 for us to 140, but 40 to 140 is when you get a really good breeding ground for all types of bacteria, and including the salmonella and things like that that are responsible for those bugs that are literally make everybody sick really fast. So it's safe to make sure that if you're going to have hot foods hot, keep them hot, and cold foods cold, keep them cold. Another thing that we need to be mindful of is washing our hands. It seems simple and it's easy, and yet we don't do it as much as we can. And washing hands is like the first line of defense in keeping food and everybody else safe. And if you're not somewhere where there's a constant stream of running potable water, then make sure that you have a big jug of that hand sanitizer. My advice to everyone, go out to the wholesale club, get the biggest thing of hand sanitizer so that no matter where you go this summer, you can just, as you're packing up your car, you can just pack up that big gallon jug of hand sanitizer and let it rip. Because a lot of places where you're, that there's water, the water is not always potable. And, you know, there'll be a little sign that says, hey, this water is for, it's from runoff.
Irrigation or something,
Yeah, irrigation water. And then we think, oh, well, there's a water source, so we're good. But then that water is not safe. Not safe water, so you want to make sure that you're getting the water from a safe place. So when in doubt, just make sure you have at least hand sanitizer. And another thing that I like to do at the beginning of the season is the, you know, the big laundry, liquid laundry detergent containers with the little spout. I take one of those and I clean it out really good, wash it out, and then I refill it with water, and I use that to keep to use to take with me for a barbecue or an outing. So I always have water, and then you just sit it up on the table, and it's real handy. You know, someone just holds the butt down, and you kind of wash your hands, and so it's a really good idea to use for running water.
That is a great idea.
You're welcome. My job here is done. And then another thing that I have, I found it on, like, Amazon, but they have soap paper. And I forgot the name of it, but you can probably Google or Amazon soap paper. And it's a little sheet of paper that's about the sheet of rice paper that us ladies like to use to keep the shine off of our face. And it's actually a piece of soap, and it's thin as paper. And so those are real handy. I love putting those in my purse. I have a six-year-old, so you already know my dilemma. And sometimes he is beyond a wipe. He needs straight soap and full-out water. So I love those little strips, and they're handy. You can put them in your car, your purse. So make yourself a kit. And then you'll have everything that you need when you go out to the barbecue. Also, another thing that a lot of people, most of us know, but you can't give common sense to everybody, is that keeping raw food separate from cooked food, very, very important. Here is, you know, it's easy when you have a cooler and you're going out, so you're keeping your cold food cold, especially chicken. So you put your raw chicken in a cooler to take it to barbecue. And then once you take your chicken out and barbecue it, a lot of times people just dump out whatever's left in there, give it a quick rinse, and then stick the cooked chicken inside. It needs a little bit more attention than that. So if you're not prepared to wash and sanitize the container, the cooler that the chicken came out of, then have a separate cooler that you're going to use. And a lot of times those real inexpensive foam coolers are really nice to use for that. I like doing that because that way you can just take it home with you and wash it up later. Or if you need to trash it, then it's not a big deal. You don't feel bad for getting rid of the cooler because it was very inexpensive. So you just want to make sure you keep the raw from the cooked. Also, mixing your meat. You don't want to put, and I've seen it a lot, your raw chicken and your raw ribs in the same pan or even seafood. You want to keep all your meat separate from each other. First of all, if you have someone who's allergic to shellfish and you store shellfish and ribs and yet they eat the ribs, you just cross-contaminate it. So the person who has a shellfish allergy, they may still get sick because all of those things were held in the same cooler. So you really want to make sure. You know, that's something you don't think about. Or I have friends that don't eat pork and beef for health and religious reasons. And so we even have to a lot of times consider what we cook or even cooking it on a different grill. So, you know, it's just a lot of things that they seem major, but if you handle it in the forefront, then it's not a big deal. Just keep being mindful of these things. And also, there's a link to this, all this information, on FDA.gov, and I'll put it up on my Facebook page as well so people can go back and refer to that on the FDA.gov.
Okay.
So people can have the tips out. Also, while I'm here, when we're talking about raw food, let's talk about the big controversy of washing your chicken.
Okay.
You know, it's the big controversy. Do you wash your meat? I'm sure you're aware of that. It was going around media.
Didn't know there was a controversy. But I thought it was a given that you did.
See, there's that. Well, the FDA does not recommend that we wash our meat, and especially chicken. And so it was a Facebook thing that went around. It was a big media thing. There was a TV show that half the hosts washed their chicken and the other half didn't, and one half thought the other half was extremely nasty for doing such. And I think it's safe to say that the potlucks in that office are basically over. Because it was a really big controversy. The FDA and the CDC say no because of the splash. And so even with me, when teaching consumer and professional students, you know, I always get that question, do you wash your chicken? And so I can stay in the safe zone. I say no, but I give my chicken a jacuzzi bath.
Okay.
So then you go, oh, I say I give it the spa treatment. So what the FDA is concerned about is about chickens. With the backsplash of doing it in running water. So
right.
I just a bowl, and I fill my bowl with enough water to safely cover my chicken, and then I put my chicken in the bowl of water. And because of my background, we usually wash our chicken. We give our chicken a scrub down with citrus. So we either use lime or lemon or both. So I just take about two or three limes or lemons, and I just squeeze the juice in the water. And then I take each half, and I just rub my chicken like I'm giving it a nice scrub down with the piece of citrus. And then I just kind of do that, and then I carefully drain my water off in the sink, and then I'm satisfied as far as that's concerned. And the reason
like
why the reason
uh-oh.
Why they don't recommend that is because the splash again, and so people get the splash around their kitchen, they don't sanitize it properly, and then they get a foodborne illness, they're sick from that. And millions of people get sick that way without knowing. And so that's why they were saying don't wash your meat. And so my advice is always just give it a nice bath, and then you don't have to worry about it. Just give it a spa soap. Also, when you marinate your food, marinate in the refrigerator, not on the counter. If you're going to marinate chicken and you create a marinade and you marinate your chicken, once you pull your raw chicken from the marinade, do not use it any further in the cooking because there could be traces of blood and other harmful bacteria that may just be lying around in there, and you don't want to transfer that into a cooked product. So, and then that would be mixing your raw with your cooked. So once you remove whatever protein you have from your marinade, and that's animal-based protein, then you want to make sure you don't use your marinade any further in the cooking, especially on raw meat. Also, cook your food thoroughly. I know that there's a lot of us, you don't have to tell us twice about a half-done hamburger, a rare or a medium rare hamburger. A lot of people prefer to see their meat well done. But there are those of us that enjoy a good medium hamburger. I myself, I like my medium. But unless you have a food thermometer and you know exactly what you're doing and you're going to be serving that right away, you've handled it appropriately from the start to the finish, my advice to you is to just go ahead and cook your meat all the way done. And that way that can minimize a lot of illnesses. Having a thermometer is not a bad idea. It's not a crazy idea. It's actually smart. Thermometers are not what they used to be. They're real easy. They even have infrared thermometers that can you can scan a surface. It'll tell you how much something is, how hot something is on the surface. So that's really good. But they also have a lot of digital thermometers. And those are really good because you can just stick your thermometer probe in and it will instantly tell you what temperature the food is. And just FYI, your hamburgers, they can be cooked to 160 degrees. That's a well-done hamburger. And your chicken, it should be cooked 165 degrees. So chicken takes the longest to cook of anything. And my recommendation, So, and chicken is the one thing that we need to be most careful of. I tell a lot of people at the family barbecue, I know that chicken is real popular, but I always just say, if you're going to be doing a whole bunch of barbecue, there's a lot of people, just skip the chicken and go with hamburgers and hot dogs and get pre-made hamburger patties. And it's just always safest, and the food will be done the quickest. Unless you really want to go out in front of everybody, then you're going to be barbecuing for a while to make sure that your chicken is at 165 degrees. Also, another thing that cooks quickly is your pork, 145 degrees. So that's safe. You want to do those too. But chicken takes the longest.
Okay, all right. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Chef Z Carter, the Roaming Gourmet. We are talking about the upcoming Memorial Day celebration, plus another one that you don't want to miss. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have a quick question for Chef Z, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back. Okay, we're going to keep going here with you. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. The number is 516-387-1944. We are here with Chef Z Carter to talk about the upcoming Memorial Day weekend and how to prepare and what you need to do to have safety, but also have fun and to cook some delicious food, and talk about events that are coming up in addition to Memorial Day. So go ahead, Chef Z.
Oh, okay. So also, we talked about cooking food thoroughly, and don't forget to refrigerate and freeze your food promptly. So if there's food that's left out of the cooler for more than a couple hours, then you need to do some adjustment with your food. So that goes back to what I said about keeping hot food hot and cold food cold.
Right.
Even though you do that, you still only have so long for that food to stay hot and so long for it to be cool in order for it to still be considered safe. And normally that's about 4 hours when it's sitting out. You've got 4 hours to do some things. So I like to tell people a lot of times, if everyone says, we're having a party, there's 20 people, bring enough for 20 people. Don't put it all in one pan. Make two separate dishes, break them down to smaller dishes, and then bring them out or reload as needed. That way you don't have the entire dish hanging out for so long because you only have 4 hours. And if you are from a family like I'm from, then we know just 4 hours in, we are just getting started. So, you know, you want to make sure that food is going to last the duration. And so breaking it down into smaller pans is always best. Now it's really easy to bring a crock pot. They have the smaller crock pot if you're going to have like your baked beans or your macaroni and cheese. Bring them in a crock pot. Put it on low so you can keep that temperature up above 140 degrees. And you know that everybody loves hot food, you know, getting their food when it's hot. So it's not going to be a big deal to be somewhere if you need to plug up a crock pot. Someone will usually make a concession for you to plug up a crock pot. Or even now, I noticed in the Dollar Tree that they have the little Sterno cans that last for a couple hours, and they're $1. So, you know, if you're in there, pick up a couple of those cans. The holders that the Sternos go in, those now are really expensive, and you can catch the actual wire holder for like $1 or $2. So it's really easy to have a hot setup at a barbecue now, versus from years ago when it cost so much money to set up a buffet table. Now it's really inexpensive and something that you can carry to the event with you. And, you know, it just it helps keep everybody safe. When the temperature outside is above 90 degrees, you want to take heed to not leave something out for more than an hour. Unless at room temperature. And even though it's outside, if outside is above 90, that's the room temperature that we're going to gauge by. So if it's really, really hot, you've got 1 hour for that food, for everybody to get what they want, and that's it. And that's provided that you handled the food properly before it got there. So those are all things to keep in mind. Also, with your cold food, if you have a potato salad or macaroni salad, you want to make sure that you bring like an ice pack or ice or have one of those freezable containers that's going to keep your cold food cold. And being cold is at 40 degrees or less. So it really does need to sit in. If you have one tray, sit the other tray inside of ice. And that will keep it nice and safe. And then as your ice melts in your little pan, just kind of drain it off, and that will keep everything nice and cool. salads, especially mayonnaise-based salads, it's not the mayonnaise that makes people sick. That's the, you know, what we all believe, that it's mayo, that make, it's the mayonnaise from the potato salad. And believe it or not, guess what actually makes you sick in the potato salad?
The eggs and the mayonnaise?
Everything but the mayo.
everything but the mayo, okay.
Yes, it's usually the potato. The potatoes
really?
Are usually what makes you sick. And so anything that is grown in the ground, there's dirt, you have to make sure that you take care of that from start to finish. Remember the big lettuce recall and things like that? All of those are dirt and farm issues. And so even though we don't hear about it as often with potatoes, but the same thing that can make you sick from the lettuce is the same thing that can make you sick with potatoes. So you want to make sure that if you're going to make your potato salad from scratch from the beginning, that you wash your potatoes really well and make sure there's no dirt associated in the process of you cooking. And so now it has really inspired me to buy potatoes that are already peeled. Oh, diced potatoes.
I was curious about that, because don't they say that there are some nutrients in the skin of potatoes?
Yes.
Nutritional.
And that's almost for any vegetable, but you just have to make sure that you are diligent in cleaning it, you know, and be diligent in cleaning your potatoes. So if you let the kids wash your potatoes or whomever, and you really think they're lax about it, go behind them and make sure you got all that dirt off of the potatoes, because that's usually what is going to make people sick.
Okay.
So those are my recommendations. And you can always find them on FDA.gov. And later on, I'll put it on my website, the Roman Gourmet Z Carter. Excuse me, on my Facebook page, on the Roman Gourmet Z Carter, where you can find this information.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Now, tell me about this Juneteenth event that's coming up really soon. Like next weekend?
Well, June the 1st. Please go on next weekend. You'll be one more weekend. So
yeah, no, not Memorial Day weekend. It's the following weekend.
Yes, the following weekend.
Two big weekends,
Local, or if you're in the Orlando, Tampa, Central Florida area, then you're familiar with Leesburg, and that's where I reside. And I, and along with my co-chairman, Consuelo Ebay, we are part of the West Leesburg's first annual Juneteenth Jazz and Seafood Festival. And we are so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm salivating. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, wow. It's an inaugural event, and it's going to be Saturday, June the 1st, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it's going to be at Ski Beach, and it's at Venetian Gardens. And a lot of people are saying, well, isn't Venetian Gardens under construction? It sure is, but Ski Beach is on the backside of the of the park, and it already had its renovation, and it is beautiful. This is a newly renovated area of the park, and I love it. It's perfect for a festival. I think they built it for festivals. I'm just going to say that. It's just, well, and one point, one part about it is that you can get there in multiple ways. Of course, you can drive. It's right in the center, you know, of Leesburg, so you can walk if you live in the city. And then you can get there by boat or seaplane because it's right on Lake Harris. So, yeah, I love that. And how many festivals do you get that opportunity to say, let's get in the boat, let's just take the boat over? And in that doesn't happen. In Lake County, we have our name, Lake. The chain of lakes are all connected. So even if you live in Eustis, you can still travel by boat from Eustis to Leesburg, from Tavares to Leesburg. So even if you wanted to avoid parking issues, you could dock on just about any lake in Lake County and basically just boat over to the event. So I think that's one plus. Also, the one other thing that I'm really, really excited about is the sweet potato pie contest. So put your pie where your mouth is. That's where I say. So
wow.
There's a sweet potato pie contest going on, and it's by popular vote. And the Fairwinds Credit Union is sponsoring that. There's a $100 grand prize and trophy. There's prizes for second and third place as well. But there's a lot of things going on. We also have music by top 10 American Idol David Oliver Willis. And he has a band, and they're going to be over there. We have our Keisha from Sanford. She is awesome. She check her out on iTunes if you want to hear from her. There's a lot of other bands, and I know I'm forgetting everybody, and I'm just running out of time. But if you really, it's
that's okay. We are posting it. We are posting it. I'm sharing the information on the G's Power, our Facebook page. I know you got it on your page, and we're connecting to your page as well. So we got to make sure that the word gets out. I'll make sure to announce it again next week for sure.
And make sure that you go on Eventbrite. It's a free event, but if you get a ticket, number one, it lets the seafood vendors know how much seafood they need to have so they can take care of you. And then also it enters you into our In It to Win It sweepstakes, which gives you an opportunity to win two VIP experiences. You get two seafood tickets, two drink tickets, two event T-shirts, and you have backstage access. So just registering for those free tickets gives you an opportunity to win that. So it's going to be an awesome event, and it's going to highlight Freedom Day, which is Juneteenth, which is awesome.
Right. Chelsea, thank you so much. Always great to have you on. Really always appreciate it and look forward to it. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Have fun. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. And we'll have our next diva of the day, Candace Thomas. So make sure you stay tuned. G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hey there, welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the third Monday of the month, and we just had Chef Z Carter on to give us our safety tips and encourage us to have a blessed and fruitful and bountiful Memorial Day weekend and summer. And she also talked about the Juneteenth Festival in Leesburg coming up on the 1st, which is the following Saturday. Now we've got to get our hair and shave. The diva of coiffure, Candace Thomas. Good morning, or afternoon, rather.
Good
How you doing?
Morning. Well, good afternoon, Gretchen.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Real
good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty good. Always great to have you on. And I'm actually, when I was looking up some stuff, I know you probably got some stuff you want to talk about, but before we get to that, I wanted to ask you about something I just saw that it was interesting to me. It made a lot of sense. When it talks about, it was something I read talking about frizz, and it reminded me of something that you keep saying about being hydrated, because they were talking about, you know, in some cases you're not going to get rid of frizz, but in a lot of cases, a lot of times you frizz up because your hair does not have enough H2O, you know, enough moisture, correct?
Yeah, correct. I think it's a lot of things why our hair frizz. But the main reason why it fritz is because of looking for moisture in the air. So you just have to keep in mind, like, when you're putting in moisture in your hair to keep it from frizzing, lately I've been telling my clients, like, because my hair frizzes. So I've noticed that if I lock in the moisture with, like, a tacky substance, like a gel or a mousse or a foam or a wrap lotion, something like that, it kind of holds in that moisture so it doesn't frizz in. So the frizz means, you ever notice, like, when you're planting a plant in the shade that's supposed to, like, be in sunlight, and it leans towards finding the sunlight?
The sunlight, yeah.
Your hair does the same thing. It's leaning out to find the moisture that's in the air, especially if there's more moisture in the air than there is in your hair. So on high humidity days, sometimes you can't, the humidity is just going to do what it do. You know, you can put as much moisture in your hair as you can. You can practically make it wet. If it's high humidity day, it's going to do what it does, is look for moisture, because it's just inevitable. But if it's a dry day and your hair is still frizzing, that's a definite indicator that you don't have enough moisture in your hair. So ladies in Florida, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, to be specific, because y'all frizz too. Just on humidity days in the summer, you might want to put on a cast. So, like, maybe use a gel, something that casts the hair to keep it from frizzing, like a gel or a mousse. Second, moisture first, gel mousse second, because then you won't get the flakiness or the hardness. I don't like hard hair, personally.
I don't like hard hair either. That's why I'm so, and you know me, I'm very resistant to a lot of, like, the sprays and stuff, unless I know it's not
going
to.
Yeah, I know. That's why I would use a drying spray, something that if you were to wrap it the next day, it wouldn't feel like you have to comb through, like, a bunch of, like, crust, you know?
Yeah.
So a little bit goes a long way. I don't like hard hair. I've never liked hard hair. You remember back in, like, the 90s, they did, like, that molding hair style, you know what I'm talking about, where it was, like, updos, but you had to leave it like that for, like, a week and wrap. I could not stand that hairstyle growing up.
Yeah.
So I just, that's just not my preference. But, again, I don't like for my curls to frizz, you know.
Right.
I'm dealing with a frizzy day today. My hair is frizzy because I'm in between washes, and I did a twist out. I noticed when I do twist out, it frizzes more versus if I was to do a wash and go, because I put more gel in the hair on a wash and go. Versus on twist out days, I don't put a lot of gel because I want the softness, but then it's high humidity day, and so now it's like soft, fluffy, frizzy. And it feels good. It feels moisturized. It just doesn't have the outer coating to keep it locked in.
Yeah, I washed my hair this morning because, you know, I went to the gym, so, and I went in the pool, so washed my hair and then did a couple of things just to put in my hair, and also just kind of, since it's short, I'm trying to grow it out, but also too, because it is time to come see you, so it's not cooperating the way I'd like it to. But I just kind of, you know, did the part on the side and combed it and just, you know, tapered it down in the back, and hoping that it will just kind of stay in place, you know, for the rest of the day. You know, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes, a lot of the time, it's because you don't have enough moisture in here. But if you're living in a climate where it's high humidity, you got moisture in your hair. It's all around you. Now you're trying to control it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about control. So what is it that I can use that I can control it? Like, I got this Frizz Ease in there, which is a John Frieda product. Not my favorite, but I'm just saying. I got the Frizz Ease in here. And it's still frizzing. Well, that's because you need a coating on top of it. Either you're going to put more oil on it, that'll be your coating, and then it's going to be greasy, or you're going to put something that will add a cast to it to keep it from thinking like, oh, I need more moisture, and it's frizzing out to the atmosphere.
But Candace, the other thing, too, it's almost kind of like you just really need to go with the flow. For example, you don't really want if your hair is definitely reacts to the humidity, you don't want to really try to do a straight hairstyle. It's just going to be too much work.
It is.
You know, right?
It is. It is going to be too much work. You know, it's too much work to even, like I'm saying, like from when I do a wash and go versus a twist out. My hair does not last. The twist out does not last me like the wash and go can last me. You know what I mean? Like the wash and go can last me literally like a whole week. Granted, I have to wet it every morning and reestablish the product that's in there and maybe add a little bit more. But on wash and go, like in the wintertime, non-humidity months, I can wear that wash and go, that twist out for 2 weeks and that thing still looks good, right?
Mm.
Now, when did I do this? I did it Saturday night for church on Sunday. No, Friday night for church Saturday. I went to service on Saturday. And here it is Monday. And my hair, I just do not feel put together. If you see me right now, I would not say I'm a hairstylist. You know,
because
it's crazy.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, there's other things you could do now because you also have talked, and I'm going to be looking into that soon, but you have also talked about using, like, these different wraps or decorative type of, I won't say scarves, but I guess it's a wrap that you say you can put on your hair to match up your outfits with and everything like that and do maybe a little less of the maintenance to the hair in terms of the curling iron or blow dryer or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's like going with the flow. So if you're like, I really want to go with the flow today, I don't want to be all out and about, you know, I kind of want to give my hair a rest, by all means, wrap it up, put a bonnet on, put a scarf on top of the bonnet, you know, put the, I think it's called slap cap. That's one of my favorite ones. It looks like a beanie. But it's the same material as, like, a satin scarf. I think it's called a slap cap, and they're real cute. I'll rock those things. I'm rocking it today because she's not cooperating with me, nor do I feel like doing it. So when I pick my stuff up, it's a cute little slap cap. I put my earrings on, and I get compliments on it. Like, where did you get your hat from? And I'm like, oh, it's called a slap cap, you know, because it looks like a beanie. It doesn't look like a bonnet, like a, you know. Something that you wear to bed. This looks really more fashionable.
Yeah. And that is the key thing, too. If you've got uncooperative hair and you're kind of just going to do the low maintenance thing, have a good set of earrings. That'll help a whole lot.
Put some earrings on. I'll wear my glasses that day. You know, glasses, my vision glasses, and my earrings. And, you know, everybody goes, you look really. Really eclectic today. I was like, yeah, look for something different.
I usually say, you know, people, oh, yeah, I'm going for comfort, okay? This is one of those days. I'm going for comfort. I'm going for ease. And it's funny how those days are some of the days that you look your best, you know, because you're not trying too hard.
I find that funny. I find that really funny.
Yeah. But I want to get to something else I wanted to talk about briefly. I mean, I know there's not a lot of people that are doing it, but we do have some ladies that, you know, they skip the whole hair thing altogether, you know, and they're going, you know, bald, whether it's for health reasons or for style reasons, you know, and they're rocking the baldness. But this time of year, you've got to be real careful about that, right? I mean, you've got to do some things to protect the scalp.
I think if you are doing something like that where you're being your confident self, and I applaud you, you know, I applaud the individual. But do keep in mind you're going to have to make sure you put some sunscreen on. Sunscreen. Moisturize. You're going to go completely bald. You're going to treat that as a skin. It's skin. So the same way you would treat your face is the same way you should treat your scalp, in a sense, because, you know, I put the BB cream on my face before I put my foundation on. My foundation comes with sunscreen on. I'll spray a little mist that has a little bit of SPF in it. I moisturize. I put a mask on it. You know, those I was reading some blogs about how people with baldness should put a mask on their scalp. You know, like a face, like something similar to a facial mask, but a moisturizing mask to keep the scalp moisturized. You're gonna
right.
have to treat it just like your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then, and it maybe even more because it's depending on your work life or your schedule or your hobbies. If you're out in the sun, that's definitely direct sun, beaming down. If you're in a, you know, my mom bought a convertible, and
mm-hmm.
so I'm like fussing on my dad. So I'm like, Dad, man, you know, you need to put a hat on. I can't wear a hat with this convertible. It'll fly off. I'm like, well, we got to figure out something for your
yeah.
head.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you still have to treat it or moisturize it and SPF it. They started coming out with some SPF products that are jelly-like, which is awesome
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't give you that white film. You know how that is
okay.
when you're dark skin.
Right.
The white film just seems so tacky and tacky. There's a run-in row, you know. But this is now a jelly consistency, and it's clear, so it rubs in a little bit better. You don't see the white film on your skin anymore. So that's something maybe to look out for.
We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Candace Thomas, our stylist. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. If you have some questions for Candace, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back. We're going to continue with Candace Thomas. This is G's Power Hour. I never had a so good entertainment. Before we get back to Candace, one thing I wanted to mention, Thursday, by the way, we are going to kick off our G's Power Hour book club and review. So just, you know, make sure you stay tuned on Thursday. We'll tell you what book. We have a couple of people that are usually with us, Kathy and Stephanie. You've heard them on. We are getting ready to kick that off on Thursday. So we will tell you what book on Thursday. So, and then the next fourth, it'll be the fourth Thursday of each month. So the next fourth Thursday, we will be doing a review of the book. So we'll tell you more about that later. But anyway, we're back with Candace Thomas, stylist here in Central Florida. And so what else do we need to be concerned about this time of year, Candace?
I just think that this time of year, I do notice this time of year, because our, you know, school is ending, our kids are getting out of school, and then especially with my parents, I tend to not see them all summer long, and
mm-hmm.
It's because vacation, then I like to say some of it's based on financial because, you know, for 8 months or 10 months out of the year, you
mm-hmm.
send them to school, don't have to worry about, like, summer camps. But now you
right.
goes from not paying a weekly to probably, like, you know, now he's got to shove out $200 a week for little Johnny. But also keep in mind, if you're going to do that, do give yourself some deep condition treatment at home. And
mm-hmm.
don't do protein. Just do moisture treatments. And the reason I say no protein because we tend to, as consumers, use more protein products. That
uh-huh.
I've always said, if you use too much protein, especially man-made proteins, it's going to do the opposite of what you wanted to do. But if you use moisture, it's not going to do that. It's not going to do opposite of what it's designed to do. So do use some moisture products because we're going to be outside more with our kids. We're going to be swimming with our kids. We're going to be, you know, going on vacation, going to family reunion, being outdoors more, and just having a good time. So just take
mm-hmm.
that in consideration, you know. And I'll, you know, look forward to seeing you guys when the school year hits back in. But, you know, it's just something that happens, and it's just a trend. It's always been like that. I've been doing this for 10 years. Every summer, it's like, where did everybody go? Well, you know, someone's in Key West, or someone's at the beach, or, you know, this kid has to do this. So that she's like, it's not in my budget anymore. I totally get it. But still make time for your personal budget and to get something in your regimen that can still treat your hair. Okay? Something within.
Let me ask you something, because you're talking about protein versus something else. And I something that I had was doing at one point in time, and I don't do it anymore right now because I just kind of heard just different commentary about it. Mayonnaise, is that an appropriate, like, pre-wash treatment or something, you know, a conditioning treatment?
Honestly, it can be. It is.
Okay.
I don't use it. I don't use it because it leaves a film on my hair that I don't like, personally.
Okay.
Now, I do know people that use it. I know people that will mix eggs with it. They'll, you know, mayos and an additional egg or egg by itself, you know, because I was one of those natural girls that made her own mask for a while. It's just every time I would use that to me or cholesterol, it just left a film on the hair that I didn't like. So I'll try it before and I'll try it after. I'm not saying that it doesn't work for a certain individual. Just for me, I just
you just have to make
myself.
Sure that you wash your hair thoroughly after.
Oh
you
yeah,
use it.
Felt like I would have to wash it a couple times, and it did feel more moisturized, but it also felt heavy.
Yeah,
I think that's the feeling it was. It was like a heavy feeling. Like I like for my hair to feel light and airy most days, but after using that, it just felt like it didn't make it feel fuller. But I don't know if it was the product that coated the hair shaft that made it feel thicker and fuller, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do from time to time try it again. I probably do it like twice a year just to make sure, because your hair changes, you know?
Yeah.
So I would try it again. I'm not saying I would never do it again. I'm telling you guys now I'll do it again because I don't know where I'm at in my life or my change. Like maybe my hair would need it later. But
right.
I still overall feel like it just leaves something in the hair.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a question I had about that, you know, because I'm at this point, I'm trying to reduce some of the excessive chemical imprint, I guess you could say, on my life. And so I am trying to turn to some things that are a little bit more natural. So.
Now, if I was to mix it, I have put it in a blender and mixed it with, like, coconut oil just to thin it out some, you know, and a little bit of water. And I've put that in my hair, and it didn't leave as bad as the film if I just used that. So I would say if I was to use it again, I would mix it with something. You know, but trying to find the right combination of stuff to mix it with. That's the chemistry part about it.
Right.
You know? Like, how is it going to react to your body? And everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's different.
I tried so many different things. I tried, I would do that and then use, I want to say, like, saran wrap or plastic wrap. And then a warm, moist hand towel. To put around,
right?
To try to, you know, and sit it on there for a little bit. So I don't know if I was doing the right thing or not, but it seemed to help a little bit. But like you said, you did get like the heaviness, and you do have to really make sure you wash that stuff out.
You have to really make sure you wash it. And another thing too, like if you're gonna do it before shampoo, I also notice if you do it before shampoo, and if you have any other products in your hair, it kind of like does something weird to the product. Like it doesn't like
it makes the hair resistant to the other product. Maybe
I don't know what it is. Like because I tried it on another individual, and I can see it. You know, sometimes you can't see what your hair is doing because it's all on your head. But I could see what it did to her hair. It left this weird film on the scalp. So then I had to go back in and wash it. So my advice also is cholesterol remaining. Kind of wash your hair first, like a light wash to get the product out. Then use
right.
it, because then maybe it's not the product that's already in it is blocking the product, the cholesterol from penetrating inside of the hair follicle, hair cuticle. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what she had on her hair prior to, but like it just didn't penetrate at all. This you can see this like whiteness on the scalp. So I had to look in and rewash it really well.
Yeah.
And I noticed it was a difference. So maybe wash it a little bit. Wash your hair a little bit before you use it.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. All right. I know I kind of took us off course a little bit, but, you know, I just wanted to ask about that because, it, like I said, it seemed like it worked, but then it didn't, you know, and so I know why.
Yeah,
what other recommendations do you have, Candace, this time of year?
This time of year, just like you said earlier, just kind of let the hair dictate what it wants to do and don't fuss about it. Because I don't, you know, prom season is over. Wedding
mm-hmm.
season is starting. It's not full effect,
yeah.
you know. So
it's
that's
here,
a whole
yeah.
different entity. We could talk about that for a second. It's Monday of June. Wedding
yeah.
season, but if you're not
oh, yeah.
doing any weddings, if you're not the 27th bridesmaid, just let your hair kind of do what it wants to do. And, you know, the blessing in that is we're in the trend of kind of like the nice, messy look. So it's okay if it's kind of messy, but you kind of style it up messy, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of let it, just live in it and don't like fuss about it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Make your life easy. Yeah,
I mean, and there's so many things you can adorn your hair with anyway that'll kind of pull it together and just, you know, give it maybe a different style. You know, this time of year, I mean, if you don't have to do the whole uptight, you know, suit look or whatever the case may be, you may be able to get away with something just a little bit more relaxed.
Right.
Yeah. So, Candace, how do we find you?
Best way to find me is through Instagram at NaturiCandy. Or you can call me at the Matthew Michaels location, Winter Park, at 407-896-9892. So if you have any questions, or also you can email me at CLPHOMAS, the number 87, at live.com. And it comes to my phone like a text message, so I can hit you right back up. So, yeah, those are the ways of getting in contact with me.
Okay. I was also, before we go, I was also looking at this one article about seven things your hair can tell about your health and everything, which, I think people don't really realize how much it can. I mean, I noticed for me that if my health is not good, I experience probably a little bit more breakage than I normally would.
Even if you're stressed. If you're stressed, your hair is helping you.
Yeah. So, but it talks a little bit about one of the things. The first thing in the article, that they list is you might be having thyroid issues, which is definitely one of my biggest issues, if not the biggest issue that I have, you know. So if that might be something, I'm a big advocate now of getting it checked, because I personally think I had an issue a lot longer than before I got diagnosed and before the symptoms showed up. So, you know, get checked, you know, ask to get your thyroid checked. That's one of the things I would say. But anyway, Candace, thank you for joining us this morning, this afternoon, rather. Really appreciate you taking the time out, and we'll see you talk to you on the second Monday.
All right. Look forward to talking to you too, Regin. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. Have a blessed day. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a blessed day.
Tomorrow, by the way, is National Red Cross Founders Day, just FYI. So we're going to try to see if we can get somebody to talk about the Red Cross, especially with hurricane season coming up. Have a blessed day, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.